My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm a newbie to Memphis radio on a regular, right? Basketball means a lot. And to go into this conference where you've got a team that made it to the national championship 2 years ago in San Diego State, a really good arena in Viejas Arena. You've got Boise State and Colorado State, who have both had at-large bids in the last couple of years. Oregon State and Washington State are kind of eh. But, you know, Washington State once upon a time did have Tony Bennett, right? So, you know, they were...
Oregon State did make an Elite Eight in the COVID year.
That is true. That is true. So, you know, I just, you got to do it. I mean, and that's what it comes down to. Like, it's going to probably suck from a travel standpoint, there's no doubt, but it's just where we're headed. It's not as bad as Cal and Stanford playing, you know, Wake Forest and things like that, you know?
No, but I mean, to me, another detail that I took note of, like, the fact that South Florida is reaching out. Like, to me, that's a huge part of it, because South Florida knows, I think everyone is aware, okay, yes, this is probably a confederation of people that would rather be somewhere else, but you are stronger together. And to me, that's a detail that South Florida knows, hey man, if we can't get on this, who knows what the next, you know, what the next stop is. So we probably need to load up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we better get into it. All right, want to remind you that the program is brought to you by our good friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings because you can get more choices. Robert Irwin Jewelers has a tremendous and enormous collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. You can even design a custom engagement ring like I did for my wife, risk-free and easy. It comes with peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. That means that for any reason, if you're unhappy with your purchase, you can take it back for 365 days, no questions asked. Lots of reasons to give gifts at this time of the year. Push presents are out there. I was notified that I was supposed to give my wife a push present. So if you don't know that that's a thing, that is indeed a thing. If you are expecting new job, new pet mom, retirement, non-traditional achievements, whether it be sobriety, weight loss, small business achievement, mental health achievements, participation trophies, they got it all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They got a present for any of life's celebrations. So go celebrate with them at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Three locations, including South Haven Bartlett and the Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended. Fabulous new expanded store there. That's the one that I go to. You can also get bigger, brighter diamonds at better prices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can also shop online at rijewelers.com. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list. Tim wants to take umbrage with the fact that people think Kirk Cousins stinks.
That's breaking news here, too.
Oh, no. What do we have here?
We got an update on Tua.
We got quarterback news, so we'll tell you about all that when we come back on the list. We'll also give out our college football awards from week three. We'll do all that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah, this according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Miami Dolphins are placing Tua Tagovailoa on injured reserve, sources tell Adam Schefter. That means that he will be an out for a minimum of four games. It becomes official, but I don't know, Tim. I kind of always thought this was where this was trended.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, but this makes some sense. Now there's no pressure of, is he going to play this week? We know he's going to be sidelined. I think until the earliest he could come back would be, I think, week 8 against the Arizona Cardinals, from all the reporting that's out there. Now the big question to me is, this is a team that made the playoffs last year, had high hopes of winning the division this year, making a run in the AFC. Do you just stick with Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley, who is currently the backup quarterback now, or do you go and sniff around and bring back someone like Ryan Tannehill, who is out there? I know Mike Florio, I think on Sunday Night Football, talked about how he's going to be very selective. There wasn't really any discussion, from my understanding, between Tannehill and the Green Bay Packers to bring him up there. But that's a roster that's ready to win now. And do you just hand the keys to Skylar Thompson and say, here you go, bud, you know, try to keep it rolling here? But yeah, as for Tua, makes a lot of sense. And, you know, who knows when he'll come back. But I think for him to be sidelined for at least a month is probably the smartest move for the Dolphins to make. No more speculation of, is he going to play this week? Oh, he might play next. Now we know he's shelved for a month. Get everything situated from a health standpoint. And for the Dolphins, you know, this is a team that, you know, Jeffrey, preseason was around 2-1 to win the division. I just looked it up. They're around plus 580 to win the division now. So a pretty drastic move here for the Dolphins with this quarterback situation.
Yeah, I saw some people kicked around the idea. Would they go get another Bama quarterback? Would you try to rehabilitate Bryce Young? I mean,
trade for Bryce Young? I don't know. I mean, is this roster a place that would make a ton of sense for Bryce Young? Like, I know that, what was it, Dallas traded for Trey Lance last year to be their backup, and that made sense, you know, as a high upside type of backup guy. Do you see if there's a trade to be made? I don't know. Like a Jacoby Brissett, he's in New England, won a game, man. So they're not going to be shipping off pieces to a division rival. I'd be very curious to see what ultimately happens, but it's just, this happens every year, and it's not, I don't know what the NFL can do to change it, but like, this is a quarterback driven league, and now two of the young stars, or rising stars, I guess, in Jordan Love and Tua are going to be out for a decent chunk of time.
Yeah, and it continues the trend where, and again, like, I don't know if it's anecdotal or not, but it just feels like every year the NFL is getting more and more defined by injuries. Like, it used to be, all right, the teams that were, you always wanted to watch out for the teams that were healthy coming into the playoffs. It feels like we're having way more starting quarterback injuries than we've had before.
I agree. And
the irony to me is we've never protected them more.
Right. That's the crazy thing. Like, what? I don't make sense of this. We're putting into play more penalties on quarterbacks, and they're getting hurt, it feels like. Now, I'm sure someone out there can do the study, and maybe we're crazy, but like, and look, two older guys, granted, of, you know, the more high profile quarterbacks a year ago popped their Achilles. Like, what are you gonna do? That you have Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins both pop their Achilles tendon. But yeah, it's pretty wild where by the end of the year, you know, Joe Burrow was hurt last year, and you know, we keep seeing these injuries start to pop up to the biggest names, and it really does feel like, and you know, Mahomes is on another planet, but it's just kind of survival of the fittest. Like, just make it to the finish line. If we're healthy, then maybe we can make a run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I almost think, I mean, there's probably, if you have a theory on why quarterbacks are getting injured, there's probably some truth to, you know, as long as you're doing the theory in good faith, like, there's probably some truth to it. I think a large part of it, though, is we have now seen in the NFL where the escaping the pocket and, you know, the scramble play is becoming, you know, it feels like it's like it's what everyone's trying to do, is because, you know, you can get so many big plays and so many chunk plays. We're now prioritizing mobile quarterbacks, I think, in a way that we used to not. And I think that just exposed them to more and more hits. And then I think also, like, we have, I don't know if it was ever intentional, but it's like, what is the number one way to get a head coaching job? It's like to be an offensive coordinator that puts up big offensive numbers. And well, oftentimes,
Clint Kubiak from the New Orleans Saints, has he been hired yet as a head coach somewhere? I mean, that dude, I mean, the stat, what was it? Derek Carr's first 15 drives this year have led to points. Like, that is insane.
Well, I mean, I think they scored one game. I think it was the first game this year was the first, like, five possessions was a touchdown. And then this year, or the next one was like the first six, or at least resulted in points. And so I also think that's something that's kind of interesting. And as we get into, like, is there going to be some type of adjustment and whatnot? And it's like, you know, Mahomes has not suffered like the season ender, but I mean,
we had
a playoff game that got defined by a concussion. He had a high ankle sprain going into a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Like, I just think that it's, as we've now, we are emphasizing guys extending plays, getting outside of the pocket, and hitting big plays downfield. And I think that just makes them so much more susceptible to hits. And also, I think on the flip side, it's like, I'm not sure football was meant to be played by guys this big, this strong, this fast.
Yeah, no, I think that is, when we think back to the, you know, when we watch the combine and we see dudes who are offensive linemen running sub 540s.
Yes, and regularly.
Edge rushers running 4.4s. You're like, what is happening? The human body now, it's just, it's crazy. And then you, I mean, and to be honest, you look at now with the way science is, you know, bigger, faster, stronger. And then you look at the NBA and a guy like LeBron James is entering year, what is it, 22?
At least.
Right? I mean, and he's still playing at all NBA level.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, again, is he like peak of his powers LeBron? No, but he's still pretty freaking good when you watch him.
He's a cyborg. I mean, he's an alien, but we might get more aliens, you know, over the, you know, it's just these dudes, I mean, they have the money and they spend it properly. And I mean, dude, Tom Brady played till 45. How long until we see the Tom Brady to the Dolphins think piece? Because they wanted him.
I think he's really...
Someone's writing the column.
Yeah, I mean, Florio's probably banging out on the computer right now, for being honest. Long live the king. I mean, I think the problem, though, is, you know, I saw some people saying from media circles, part of the issue for Tom Brady as a broadcaster is he can't go into the production meetings because of the ownership thing.
Oh. Is he still a part owner of the Raiders?
Well, he's going through the process, and because he's going through the process, you're not allowed to go to practice, you're not allowed to go to those production meetings. And you and I both know those production meetings are pretty impactful.
Oh, yeah. You get great nuggets.
Yes.
You get, I mean, as a bettor, I wish I could be in those meetings.
Yes, 1,000%. All right, let's get to Monday Night Football. All right, so the Falcons knock off the Eagles 22-21. Tim's got a topic he wants to discuss. Before that, I think let's get into the third down call. It's 3rd and 3. The Falcons are out of timeouts. They run the play-action pass that they had run previously, in which Saquon nearly scored, but I guess his knee was down at the half-yard line. And I'm just saying this. Saquon's not a bad pass catcher, but Saquon's not an elite pass catcher. I do feel qualified to comment on that. And so, of course, it stops the clock. The Eagles then elect to kick the field goal. I was just in the mode, why not run it twice? Like, why not run it on 3rd and then run it on 4th? Like, I did not think, quote-unquote, going for it was wrong. I just thought the way that they did it was wrong.
It's easy to play
armchair quarterback
Tuesday morning quarterback when the play is not successful. That said, I would run the football there. And you were having success with Saquon powering forward. What was it, 3rd and 4? Is that right?
I mean, I thought both teams were...
I mean, the play was there, right?
It just felt like... Yeah, no, I mean, it's wide open. Like,
it's wide open. It's a first down. As someone who had Falcons plus 6.5, I thought he was going to score a touchdown and ruin my bet. So that was nice that he dropped the football.
Well, I didn't know what to root for because I was thinking if he... Because I was at plus 6. I didn't know what to root for because I thought if he scored... If he scored, there was still a chance for a garbage touch or whatever, either a garbage touchdown or a field goal that could get you back inside the number. All I was really hoping for, I think really, though, at that point, because I didn't have any money line, I just wanted him to get the first down and be done.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I was a little – so I have some futures exposure to both of those teams. I have Falcons to win the division, and I have Eagles to win the division. So I was like, what do I really want? But looking at the Saints and Buccaneers start to the year – I think the Falcons win was much more impactful for me from my personal pocketbook standpoint, but I know people don't give a crap about that, so let's focus on what happened last night. What is it? And then they showed the stat. I think Saquon Barkley, and you would know this better than anyone being a Giants fan, I think Saquon Barkley leads all running backs in drops over the past like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Like 16.
Again, it's not like he has – like there. I've seen running backs that have worse hands than he does. He also gets more opportunities.
Targets,
right,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like cause,
he's not just a
right. –
you know, I was trying to think of like a bulldozing back that you're not going to throw the ball to. Like he's not
– This isn't Frank Gore.
Sure. Or, yeah, I was going to say A.J. Dillon.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
In Green, but whatever. He gets targeted out of the backfield. But – once again, let me pull up the box score because I think it was 3rd and 4.
I think it was 3rd and 3 because I think they end up kicking on 4th and 3.
So you have this unstoppable play. You can't get 2 yards up the gut with Saquon, and at the worst case scenario, he gets stuffed. At least 40 seconds come off the clock. They had no timeouts.
Yes.
So, you know, we're and I'm not making this an analytical thing, because I think analytics are important and I think they get utilized well. That said, keep it simple, stupid, sometimes. Just run the damn ball, and at worst case scenario, you get stuffed and at least 40 seconds come off the clock. So, you know, looking at it right now, it was 3rd and 3. You can't get 2 yards and then do a tush push on 4th and 1.
Well, I mean, that was the other thing. It's like, I felt like the whole game, both teams were getting cute. They were running it at will, and then they just like, all right, it's time to throw it.
Right.
It's like, I don't know, man. Like, to me, it's like, trust the guys. But now that brings up, it brings up the point that you'd like to make.
So, Kirk Cousins, forever, and now I was a radio host in Washington, D.C. for 5 years, and in the heart of the Cousins contract fiasco, which was, you can't pay him. Well, my thought always was, today's overpay is tomorrow's bargain. And I thought Washington should have kept him and should have paid him. Ultimately, he left and went to Minnesota, helped guide the Vikings to 2 playoff appearances, and they won 1 playoff game. Is that successful? Probably not. But I never understood, there is a vitriol on social media and even in the media on Kirk Cousins. And all I've just said, and I've been consistent with it, the dude has always been a top 12 quarterback. Not a top 5 quarterback, not a top 8 quarterback. I think he's top 12. He's old now, so, and he's coming off an Achilles, and he didn't look great in the first half, but it was this driving narrative of Kirk Cousins melts down in the big spots. Well, the facts are, he's got 28 game-winning drives since 2015, and he's got an NFL-best 15 go-ahead passing touchdowns in the fourth quarter or overtime. People blindly looked at results like he was a starting pitcher, when I remember sitting watching vividly a Rams-Vikings shootout on a Thursday night. He leads them down to a touchdown, and the Vikings defense, which was pretty much trash the entire time he was in Minnesota, just let the Rams go right back down the field. So there's no doubt he has had poor performances, but did people expect, when he was the starting quarterback in Washington, did they expect the Redskins to beat the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs? Of course not. It's Aaron Rodgers at his peak of his powers. Like, your Giants should not have beat the Vikings.
Yes.
Okay, that's on him. But a lot of quarterbacks have those performances. It always felt like Kirk Cousins' downfalls got amplified to the highest level. But when the statistics are out there saying the dude comes through in clutch moments, people overlook them. So he's not great. He's not a Hall of Famer. And I think there's also, lastly, I think there's jealousy, because this dude and his agent, Mike McCartney, have played the game perfectly. Think about Kirk Cousins in Washington. They didn't want to sign him to a long-term deal. Okay,
franchise.
I'll take back-to-back franchise deals for $44 million over 2, and all we wanted was $57 over 3. And you dummies paid us $44 guaranteed over 2. I walk for nothing, and then I go get a $100+ million deal in Minnesota, 3 years, all guaranteed, got extended there. Vikings are like, all right, we don't want you anymore. Fine, I'll go to another team that's going to pay me. The dude has played the game perfectly throughout his entire career.
I think there's a few things that you touch on that I 100% agree with. I definitely think that, and Dak is now going to start to go through this too.
Dak's a really good quarterback.
But it's going to be the same thing. Like, Dak's now the highest paid guy. And so, right. I definitely think there's something inherently that we do, the amount of money that you make versus production. Also, his primetime record's not nearly as bad as people think. There was a point in time when in which it was terrible.
He also played, worth noting, he also played on the Redskins.
Yes.
They sucked.
Yes.
And they would always put Washington in primetime, because until recently, where they have stopped putting them on prime time, Washington, you got to remember, in the 80s and 90s, they were one of the franchises in the NFL. So with those rivalries against the Giants, against the Eagles, against the Cowboys, Washington has been a garbage franchise for two and a half, basically my whole life. They have not won 11 games in a season since 1991. They're the only team in the NFL that has not won 11 games in a season in the past three decades. So his primetime record was not good, but he was also the starting quarterback for a pretty crappy team.
Correct. I think there's also the idea that when we see teams franchise you and pay you, and instead of paying you, we inherently go, well, why, if the team that knows the most about you won't pay you, like, he must not be that good. And then I also think a big problem, and this is kind of where I fall into, because I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. Like, I never think, if the argument's Kirk's a top 12 quarterback, fine. It's just when everyone kept trying to elevate him, like, whenever he puts up these monster numbers and it's like, look, he's playing like a top five guy. It's like,
if Kirk Cousins played for the San Francisco 49ers, they would have a Super Bowl. That I will die on that.
Ooh.
In that system under Kyle? Absolutely.
Maybe. The problem is his style.
Is he better than Jimmy G?
Yes.
They should have won the Super Bowl with Jimmy G.
Yes, they didn't. That's kind of the Mahomes conundrum.
And Brock Purdy's younger and cheaper, so maybe it doesn't work as easily as just saying Kirk for Brock, because
right,
they're able to spend more money on other pieces.
Are they able to have every weapon that
right,
they did?
So maybe the Brock for Kirk doesn't make sense just from a financial standpoint. They were paying Jimmy, and he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo, and Kyle Shanahan freaking loves Kirk Cousins.
No,
they tried to get him. They tried to trade a first-round pick, the second overall pick for Kirk Cousins, and the dummies in Washington turned it down because they're so spiteful and they hate the Shanahans.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the other problem. It's like, part of the reason why Elsie wasn't getting paid is like, you had an inept owner. Like, yes. It's just part of
it. And Bruce Allen as their GM, who's an absolute doofus.
Yeah, his primetime record's 13-19, but he's 4-9. 4-9 with the Commies, 8-10 with the Vikings, 1-0 with the Falcons.
So 8-10 with the Vikings. That's not terrible.
No, I think the big problem.
I think he's won four of his last six Monday Nighters, too.
It's also, for me, it's like style of play. Like just watch it. It's like so. There's so many checkdowns. Like last night, I give him credit. He was letting it rip.
I think his average depth of target like 2 years ago was like top five in the league.
No, he was letting it rip last night. There's no.
No, and I'm saying like when in Minnesota he was doing that. Like the checkdown Charlie was Alex Smith, who ironically they replaced Kirk Cousins with, and I think Jay Gruden didn't even want him.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's recap our thoughts from week three of college football. We got our weekly awards. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Program is brought to you by our friends over at Birdies. It's located at 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. Golf at birdies.com. Check out their membership options. For $100 a month, you can get 10 hours on the simulators. Normally, standard rates are about $40 per hour, so that's a great value there. But you also get discounts and more when you become a member at Birdies. Also, on Saturdays and Sundays for football season, they will open up early. 9 a.m. makes for a great spot to watch the games. Great TV selection. Also, on the simulators, you can watch your favorite football game with the sound right there on the big screen of the simulator. Golf at birdies.com. Also, follow them on Instagram for more information and some updates. And now we welcome back Tim Murray to the program. Tim, let's see. What did you send me? You sent me a note. Oh, UCLA. Okay. All right, let's get into our weekly awards. I think team of the week is, to me, there's about three or four teams that really stood out. I thought Bama finally flexed, but I'm still a little more hesitant on what is Wisconsin.
If Tyler Van Dyke doesn't get hurt,
I think they still get curb stomped.
Probably.
I mean,
they were moving the ball, and I may or may not have taken. English is
close
a struggle for me sometimes. I may or may not have taken a first half position on Wisconsin, and I'm like, all right, we're going to get there. And then Van Dyke went down, and also it was 14-3. I had Wisconsin, I think, plus 9.5, and they missed like a 40-yard field goal And then right after that, Alabama went right down the field and scored a touchdown.
I think it's clearly a closer game because
I don't think they win at all. Yeah, obviously.
To me, the bigger problem was Wisconsin was allowing explosive plays. Like that's not really what Wisconsin. I'm kind of flagging that. That doesn't look right at Wisconsin. Or am I insane?
No, you're right, man. Something's off. I am a big Luke Fickell guy. You know, there was a contingent of Notre Dame fans a little upset that, you know, he's not the head coach there and Marcus Freeman ultimately got the job. Yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, going the air raid route with, you know, Phil Longo or whatever it may be. That team's not making a bowl game this year.
Yeah, that's to me, like, that's kind of my hesitation of giving Alabama the team of the week. Like, yes, they finally...
Going to Wisconsin, going across... Yeah. They hadn't been north of the Mason-Dixon line since 2010. And the market, by the way, for whatever you want to take of it, steamed massively to Wisconsin before kickoff. It went from like 16.5 down to 14 at kickoff. So there was money flooding in, you know, influential money on Wisconsin. Yeah, somebody right there, man. Yeah, that team, it's not what it once was, right? It wasn't that.
Yeah.
And you're starting to wonder, and I think I'm stealing that. I think this was from the Cover 3 podcast, fellas, but you're starting to wonder, is this like a Bo Pelini Nebraska situation?
Yeah.
Where Wisconsin was like, you know, Paul Christ, you win 9 games every year, but we really want 11. And now it's like, you know, you see those bumper stickers like, you miss me yet? Like,
yeah.
Paul Christ wasn't great, but he wasn't this, you know. So I don't know. I mean, Luke Fickell, like, he did it at Cincinnati. They had great talent evaluation. However, think about the Cincinnati staff. Marcus Freeman was on that staff. A lot of the pieces that helped Luke Fickell get Cincinnati to where they ultimately got to playing for the, you know, in the college football playoff, a lot of those guys are on Notre Dame staff.
Well, and further, like, Cincinnati was a pretty good job in the league, you know? Maybe UCF was spending more, but not really. I mean, it was a pretty, pretty good job. Also, could give a shout-out to the Rockets of Toledo. They
smoked them.
Absolutely smoked them. But again, to me, that's – I'm not trying to dismiss anything that the Rockets did, but that was more about what Mississippi State didn't do.
I don't know what Toledo is, and I know this is a show on Memphis Radio, so we don't have to go too deep on Maction, but –
Well, this is a show built on Maction.
Kind of down on Toledo this year. So, I mean, you know me. My eyes immediately went to this week.
Yeah, who they playing
Kentucky.
This week?
Western Kentucky.
Horrible, though.
Yeah, I mean, Middle Tennessee's so bad, so it's really hard to gauge what they are. So, yeah, Western Kentucky's got their backup quarterback in. Regardless, Mississippi State is really bad. Like, that is... Yikes.
And then I think also the way that the Irish responded. I mean, that wasn't just a win. That was an absolute beatdown, and that was another line that kept coming down, kept coming down, kept coming down.
Close at like 7.5. It touched 7 for a good chunk of the week. Like, Purdue, we didn't know what they were because they played one FCS team,
yep.
And they smoked them, and then they had the week off. And Notre Dame was mad, obviously, and they figured out a way to run this offense with Riley Leonard, who's still not a great passer. He's never going to be a great passer. I thought he would have a little bit of a stronger arm. But the question that I have for if there's any Notre Dame fans out there or people who bet on Notre Dame, let's look at it that way, to make the college football playoff or over their win total, whatever it may be, I came away from Saturday angry because I'm like, how the hell did you lose to Northern Illinois when you're capable of playing this way? And let's be honest, you know, Texas A&M, I thought, has bounced back decently so far. So that win looks a little bit better to go into College Station and win the way that they did. But, you know, Notre Dame will make the playoff, and I know you're going to get mad, people. If they go 11-1, Notre Dame's making the playoff. Like, lock it, put it in Sharpie. Now, if they go 10-2 with that loss in Northern Illinois, I think that's where it gets a little murky, especially if it's a loss to USC. If this team plays the way that they did on Saturday, they should be 10-1 going into their visit to the Coliseum Thanksgiving weekend.
I still believe that they're going to... that
their defense is real. Like, that defense is real. Now, concerns here. Notre Dame... The biggest question about Notre Dame coming into this year was their offensive line. They have now lost three starters on a inexperienced offensive line. They lost their left tackle in training camp. They lost their center for the season against Purdue, and they lost their right guard for, I think, 3 to 4 weeks with an ankle injury. So the offensive line that was already the biggest question mark of this team has now taken hits to its depth. So that's something to keep an eye on. They lost another edge rusher to the season with an injury. So they're starting to get dinged up a little bit, which is a concern. But assuming they don't falter to another MAC team as a 28-point favorite, which has that ever happened? Oh, wait, it happened 2 weeks ago.
Who knew?
They get to host Louisville, and I don't know what Louisville is yet, you know? Like, that's a team. I think we find out a little bit more about Louisville this weekend. I think Georgia Tech, that's a team that's going to be on my – I don't know if they're on my card for sure, but taking 10.5 with the Ramblin' Wreck is kind of an intriguing look this week. Maybe a little peek ahead for Jeff Brohm's squad to the Notre Dame showdown.
All right, Grease Fire of the Week. I'm just going with the entire state of Florida that's not Miami.
Hey, man, South Florida smoked Southern Miss.
Well, they were down 14-0.
Hey, for someone who had Southern Miss, and in fairness, I really was hoping that
FIU would hold. FIU did beat FAU, so I just think that like neutralizes.
Tom Herman, not working well at FAU, apparently.
Turns out maybe he
parlayed. Mr. Worldwide, his investment is doing well down at FIU.
Turns out maybe Herman might have. You want to talk about also someone that might have played the system perfectly. He might be up there. But, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess you have to say Florida State's less of a dumpster fire because, like, they give Norvell the extension. So, like, you're just going to have to go through this bad season. But it's
when
not like.
When does Sunbelt Billy get fired? When is Napier gone? Like, does he make it to November? Like, I put out a poll on Twitter, and I know it was right when they – I bet Florida again. I'm an idiot. Never again.
I did. It was so dumb that it had to be right. I did the same thing.
They're facing a backup quarterback, and they get absolutely smashed. But it's over. But when is it over? Because they don't have anyone on staff that necessarily –
I don't think that's a problem. I think you should if you're firing him, like, do not ever never make the mistake of giving the job to someone that could to an interim that could actually like get the job. More times than not, it doesn't work. My theory is they've got
a 6-point road favorite this weekend. I mean, that's SEC team.
I mean, you want to talk about would you rather? Would you rather lay 6 with Florida? Or would you rather take 6 with State?
I think I'd lay it with Florida, but I don't know. The Dan Mullen Bowl. Dan Mullen, this is probably sitting there in the stands. Not that he didn't get fired from Mississippi State, obviously, but he's just got to be with a big old grin on his face, be like,
"How you like me now?"
Yeah, exactly. We just talked about this. Paul Chryst, Dan Mullen. Hey, he's not getting after it in recruiting. You know, we got to get rid of him. The dude went to what, 2 SEC championship games?
Consecutive, yes.
Yeah.
Now I guess McElwain did the same thing too, but it was a little more asterisky. So they've got UCF next week. I think if they...
2 weeks. They have a bye week before UCF. Yeah.
I personally think if they go to Tennessee and get absolutely filleted, like I think is very much possible.
Tennessee's murdering.
I think he
right
could
now.
Get kiffened. Now the question...
Tarmac?
Yeah, the question is, do you want to let him... smoked by Georgia and Texas.
If/when they lose to little brother UCF in the swamp.
I don't think he makes it to November, but I could see where some people want him to take the Georgia loss to like leave no doubt.
Is Florida State going to be on the CW? Like that?
Is it game? it's ACC, so yeah, but it'll probably be on ABC.
Like 2 years ago. It was a Black Friday game. It was awesome. Like that game with Richardson.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The back and forth.
Such a good game. This game, the first time neither is ranked or together in like 30 some odd years?
I mean both teams will likely have losing records.
Norvell has no, there's no heat on Norvell, correct?
He signed too big of an extension. Like it's just not even possible.
Yeah. He's got to figure out the high school recruiting because he did he and his staff were doing a phenomenal job in the portal, right? They get Jared Verse from Albany. Like they get these dudes and they're fitting perfectly down there. They're like, I think I looked it up. I think they're like 25th and 247 right now in recruiting. Like, you got to do better. You got to hit the, like, Georgia figures it out, right? I know you're comparing Georgia versus Florida State, but like, that's where you want to be. Georgia's number one in recruiting, and then they still hit the portal. Like, I think we've gotten to the point, would you agree with this, that the way to win at a big time level, you recruit the high school level, and if, let's say, your wide receivers don't hit, okay, that's where we go to the portal. Building a team in the portal does not work. You need to build your base from high school and then figure out how to plug the holes with the portal.
So, yes, I don't think everyone can do that. That is very expensive. So what I do think is a playing with fire scenario is you bring in and you're dependent on one-year transfers. Like, everyone calls, you know, Kiffin Mr. Portal. Most of the portal guys he gets are multi-year guys.
Jackson Dart, 2 years.
And so, like, Jackson's been there three.
Is he three?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, so most of his
guys. Florida State, by the way, is 34th right now in recruiting. Now, they've only got 11 commits. They're behind Duke and Baylor and one spot ahead of Stanford.
All right, we're going to do most college football moment because all the rest are just kind of like, I'm giving the week three Heisman to Arch Manning. There you go. Congratulations. This was a new one for me, Tim. I was watching that Tulsa-Oklahoma State game for obvious reasons. Oklahoma spot. Tulsa had 4th and 20. And they're in no man's land. So it's like long field goal or go for it. They went for it and threw a swing pass. You'll never guess what happened.
It didn't go very far.
He got tackled after like 10 yards. They'll never see it coming. Like, that's the stuff that you only get in college football. Like, that's what I live for. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Tell Your Story, I got a Bill Belichick last night on the Manning cast. Peyton was asking him what he remembered from the 28-3 comeback. Quote, I remember blank down on the sideline in the fourth quarter celebrating when they were ahead. He's a pretty good dresser. Arthur always looks sharp, but he was down there on the sidelines and we were getting beat, and I was just like, Jesus. It was 100% just so salty towards Arthur Blank because, you know, he didn't get the Falcons job.
It wasn't in the top three of the Falcons.
Wasn't
job.
Even in the final standings. I want to thank you for joining us, buddy. Talk to you again on Friday.
All right, man. See ya.
For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.